Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And we're in a series on Sunday mornings titled Why, and we're asking some why questions. Today our question is, why doesn't God answer my prayers? There was a preacher who used to bow his head every Sunday before he got up to preach. His daughter asked him one day, she said, "Daddy, why do you bow your head each Sunday before you get up to preach?" He said, "I'm asking God to help me preach a good sermon." And she said, "Well, why doesn't he do it?" That would sting a little bit, wouldn't it? Have you ever felt like God hasn't answered your prayers? Have you ever felt that way? If you have, you're not alone. There are many people in the Bible who felt that way. Listen to Job. "Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me and that my adversary had written a book." Listen to David. "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" And then listen to Habakkuk. "O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save." Sometimes we feel like God isn't listening. But the Bible teaches that God does listen to His people. 1 Peter 3:12, the verse that was read, an important verse. "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears attend their cries. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." There's a condition there. You know, in Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Everyone who asks receives." Right? "To him who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." God does hear His people. But the Bible teaches that there are conditions to prayer. If we want to have powerful and effective prayer, the kind James talks about, we need to understand that there are conditions. Maybe you feel like God isn't listening to you because maybe, just maybe, you're not treating people right. And if you don't treat people right, it will hinder your prayer life. Listen to Peter. Peter writes, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she also is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." If you don't honor your wife and treat your wife right, husbands, it will hinder your prayer life. It will hinder your prayer life. Your prayer life will not be effective if you're not treating your wife right. But I think that also applies to women. That doesn't give women an out that they can just dishonor their husbands. I think it works both ways, right? We need to honor one another. Here, Peter is simply talking about husbands honoring their wives, but wives should also honor their husbands and treat them properly. But I also think that even extends further, and it extends to the body of Christ. How are we treating one another? Are we treating one another right? Are we honoring one another as children of God? Or do we look down on some? I think maybe your prayer life is not effective because maybe, just maybe, you're not treating people right. Or maybe your prayer life is not effective because maybe you have asked with wrong motives. And so you're petitioning God, but your motives are impure and wrong. Listen to James chapter 4, verse 3. He says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. And so we can ask for things with wrong motives. And if we do so, God is simply not going to hear us. God is not just some sugar daddy in the sky who just dotes out on his people. That's not the way we want to see God. He doesn't give us every single thing we ask for. Sometimes we ask for things that we don't need to be asking for. And sometimes we ask with the wrong motives. And so if our motive isn't proper, it's going to hinder your prayer life. I mean, there's a verse, and I don't know how you can get any plainer than that. If you ask with wrong motives, he says, you ask and do not receive. Why don't you receive? You ask with wrong motives. What's your motive in going to God? Why are you petitioning God for this? Sometimes we may petition God, you know, for a job so that we can have the lifestyle that we want. Not that we're interested in seeking the kingdom of God first, but that we're interested in a lifestyle and we want God to help us out. By giving us a good job, we can make a whole lot of money. And I think in that case, simply asking for wrong motives. We're not to work just to be selfish and just say, it's all mine. The Bible's clear. We're supposed to work that we may have to give to those who are in need, not just ourselves. So maybe, God isn't listening because what you're asking for, you're asking with the wrong motive. Or maybe your prayer life is not effective because you lack faith. It's important that we have faith when we approach God. Listen to James. He says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all, notice, generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like a surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. And so when we come to God, we have to come to God in faith that God can and do what we're asking him to do. You know, there was a woman who had an issue of blood. Don't know exactly what all was going on with that. But for 12 years, she spent everything she had on doctors. She couldn't get well. And one day, Jesus was coming through town. And she said, if I can just touch him, I will be made whole. And she had faith that if I could just touch Jesus. And she reached out and touched just the hem of his garment. And immediately, the woman was made well. And Jesus said, who touched me? And of course, there's a crowd of people hitting him and bumping into him. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. But one person touched him in a way that the others were not touching him. This woman touched him in faith. The Hebrew writer says, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must ask in faith in order to receive from God. You can't lack faith and expect God to answer your prayer. A lack of faith will hinder your prayer life. Here's another one. Maybe there's unconfessed sin in your life. That will hinder your prayer life. Listen to David. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not what? Hear. He will not hear. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he's not talking about the fact of sin, but rather the love of sin. We all have sin. 1 John 1:8. You know, if anyone says he doesn't have any sin, he's a liar. And the truth's not in him. We all have sin, right? And it's not to say that we just sin all day, every day, but all of us have sin in our lives. But here's the thing. Do you love it? Do you love it? Because if you love it, it's going to hinder your prayer life. If you're unwilling to deal with it and get it out of your life, it will hinder your prayer life. You cannot love sin and pursue a relationship with God. You cannot do that. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, the eyes of the Lord over the righteous, His ears attend our cries, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So it says very clearly, God hears His people, but those who do evil, He doesn't hear. And that's true of believers. If we have wickedness in our hearts that we plan on going out of here today and getting right at our sin, God's not going to hear you. That will hinder your prayer life. But you know, 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's that easy. You simply go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've allowed this into my life and that I've loved it and I've been unwilling to deal with it. And now I want to deal with it and I ask You to help me to eradicate this from my life. That will open up the channels again. And God will hear you when you pray. There's another reason why maybe God doesn't hear. Maybe your prayer doesn't line up with God's will. And this is important. Listen to John. 1 John. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Sometimes when we pray, Lord, Thy will be changed. That's the way we pray. You know, we're praying something that's contrary to the will of God. But yet we're still asking God to change His mind. We need to be like Jesus, you know. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. And I believe that true prayer is asking God what He wants, not what I want. What does God want? Those are the things that I need to be asking God for, the things He wants for me. Because if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Think about that. If I ask according to His will, He hears me. Well, what if it's not in His will? Then obviously He doesn't hear. He hears us when we pray, Thy will be done. That's the way we're supposed to pray. It's the way that we're supposed to approach God. We're not supposed to go to God and enforce our will and ask God to give us something that's against His will. Because He's not going to give you anything contrary to His will. Real prayer is asking God what He wants. Because what's His will? And where would I find His will? Right here in this book. In the Bible. The Bible contains the will of God for my life. And those are the things I need to be praying for and praying about. God's will. I mean, think about it. If you're a believer and you sold out, is it your will that's important or His will? It should be His will, not your will. And when you seek the will of God, you're really seeking the best for your life. You can't go wrong seeking His will. But you can go wrong seeking your will. And so sometimes it might be that your prayer has been hindered because it simply doesn't line up with the will of God. And we just need to trust God. But there's another reason. Maybe you didn't like His answer. Maybe He answered you, but you're just not hearing. You're not listening. And so sometimes when God answers us, He just says yes, and He gives us what we're asking for. He's a gracious and merciful and a good God. But there are times that God says no. And no is an answer. It's an answer we don't like, but it's an answer. God is saying no. And when God says no, we need to trust His love and trust His wisdom. He knows best. He loves us. He'll always do what's in our best interest. And so if He says no, there's a reason why God says no. But no's an answer. But sometimes we can be childless. Sometimes we can be like little children. So your child says, you know, hey, can I spend a night at Jimmy's house? No. Oh, come on, can I spend a night at Jimmy's house? No. Oh, Mom, please, can I spend a night at Jimmy's house? No. How many times have you said no to your children over something and they kept asking? And I think that's what happens to us. God said no, but we keep saying, God, please change your mind. Please change your mind. He ain't going to change his mind. He's not going to change his mind. Now, no is an answer. Sometimes God says, wait. It's not the time yet. And so God will wait for the proper time to give us what it is that we're asking Him for. And so sometimes we just simply need to wait. And so we need to ask God, continue to pray to God. You know, Paul, when he prayed about the thorn in his flesh, he prayed three times about that. Jesus in the garden prayed three times. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus accepted what God said. And so, there's one other here. And that is, sometimes He gives us something better than what we're actually asking Him for. He just really gives you something good in your life. Solomon is a good example of this. God told Solomon, ask what you will. And he said, I want wisdom to govern your people. And God said, because you've asked for this, wisdom, to govern my people, I'm going to give you glory and honor and a kingdom. And God blessed him with wealth and everything. He was a truly blessed man. But all he asked God for was wisdom. But all that other came with it. And so sometimes when we pray and ask God for something, oh, He gives us something better than what we actually we're petitioning God for. And so those are just some of the ways that God answers us. And so maybe, just maybe this morning, you feel like God's not listening to me. God's not hearing my prayers. Maybe, just maybe, it has to do with one of the reasons that we looked at this morning. And I hope that you will truly look in your life and look in your heart and ask yourself, how am I doing? Is my prayer life hindered because I'm not meeting the conditions that the Bible says need to be met in order for our prayers to be effective? And that's what we want. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, James says, avails much as opposed to little. Much as opposed to little. And so, this morning, if you're struggling in your prayer life, I hope and pray that you'll look at these conditions, and if any of them is standing in your way, remove it. Remove it. But also, today, if you need prayer for any reason, we want to encourage you to come. This is always a time that you can come to God and ask God's help. But also, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to encourage you to do that, because the Bible teaches that we're sinners. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Our sin has separated us from God, as Don talked about in his class this morning. And the only way that we can be reconciled is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. We need to obey the gospel. And so this morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, we just want to encourage you to come. Let us share with you. If you don't understand the gospel, we would love to help you understand the gospel. The gospel is the most beautiful message in all the world. There's nothing that compares to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we urge you to come if you have any need.